Thank you for granting us the floor, Mr. Chair. This morning we had a very interesting panel discussion on voluntary mechanisms. And in that regard, oftentimes the panelists and some of the questions would bring us back to provisions in the existing law that sort of constituted voluntary mechanisms or TCBM efforts. The panelists often refer to Article 9, but there was also a reference to Article 11 of the Outer Space Treaty. But to that, there's others that could be added, and there are other mechanisms that exist both under international space law and general international law. So one specific example under international space law could be Article 4, Paragraph 2 of the Registration Convention, where states are invited to submit further information on objects that are in orbit. This can be used. Article 11 of the Outer Space Treaty, of course, is a very open-ended article and allows states, or I would say encourages states, to share information on space activities of all kinds. So we actually see that the Outer Space Treaties contemplate voluntary mechanisms and transparency and confidence-building measures through its provisions. These are perhaps provisions of untapped potential that this group could also explore in its elaboration of responsible behaviors. It's also important to note that when we're talking about responsible behaviors or irresponsible behaviors, while it's fairly clear that a responsible behavior would be consistent with the Outer Space Treaty, irresponsible behaviors could sometimes be inconsistent, but could sometimes be behaviors that, while permissible, are undesirable. So as some of the panelists said on the first day, just because something is permissible doesn't mean you should do it because of the consequences it could engender for other states, a concern that it raises, a perception of threat or insecurity generally, which can, of course, fuel conflicts and an arms race in outer space. There's also some other points made by some of the delegations when we were having discussions about due diligence and how it might weaken the responsibility of states. And so I think it's instructive, again, to go back to the provisions of the Outer Space Treaty, in particular the Liability Convention, noting that liability for damage caused by space objects on the surface of the Earth or to aircraft in flight is absolute. So compensation for damages for such types of events on the surface of the Earth or to aircraft in flight is absolute. There isn't a due diligence argument that can be made that can escape that obligation to compensate in that situation. On orbit, there is, of course, fault-based liability. But for those states that either don't have damage to a space object or don't have space objects, but suffer damage as a result of a space activity, of a space object coming down to Earth and causing damage, it's not a matter of debating due diligence. It's a matter of absolute liability. And there's only very limited circumstances in which the launching state can exonerate itself of liability. And perhaps just a little linguistic issue to refer to there. In English, we have the concepts of responsibility and liability, and they are somewhat separate legal concepts. I understand that in other languages, particularly in French, there's not necessarily a linguistic differentiation. So we have responsibility, responsabilité. And for liability, I believe the translated term is responsabilité pour dommage, or responsabilité civile, one of those two. But they are separate concepts under the Outer Space Treaty and under the Liability Convention. And it's important not to confuse those two, particularly in light of the provisions of the Liability Convention. And perhaps just on a related point, in terms of judicial interpretation and ways of solving disputes or resolving disputes and mechanisms that can be utilized, it may also be instructive to recall that there is a claims commission's procedure under the Liability Convention. So for states that are party to the Liability Convention, there are ways to settle matters peacefully, which can ensure that you don't have situations where accidental damage occurs that escalate into conflicts or otherwise increase tensions. And so, again, the value of the Liability Convention for all member states, spacefaring or non-spacefaring, is significant. And in that respect, Canada would certainly encourage all states that have not yet become a party to all the four core outer space treaties, particularly Liability Convention in this case, to consider doing so. And then, depending on how long your memories are, you may recall back to earlier this week when the Australian delegation also recommended that there's another mechanism that you can employ, and that is submitting a declaration acceding to the mandatory jurisdiction of the International Court of Justice. So there are ways in which misunderstandings or disagreements can be litigated both under the space treaties and under the charter so that you don't have escalating tensions and so you avoid conflict. And again, all of this contributes to preventing an arms race in outer space. And so what we see is that existing international law, including the outer space treaties, encourages us to do exactly what we're doing right now, which is to discuss responsible behaviors and to explore the mechanisms that currently exist for improving communications and transparency. And I hope that in this working group and in future sessions, we can maybe look at the untapped potential that we have under existing international law, as well as looking at new mechanisms that we can create. I thank you.